I'm not stopping you.
I'm Justin Souther.
And Ken, I'm Ken Hankey. Yes.
You're taking your time.
Well, I like to lead into these things easily.
Don't you go too fast.
Yeah. And we're in the movie critics for the Mountain Express. And we're also Elitist Bastards.
Yes.
And
for the Mountain Express.
For the Mountain Express. And just for the hell of it, too.
America.
That's right. It is our patriotic duty to be elitist bastards. Whatever that meant.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are coming to you from the bar of the Cinema Lounge at Carolina.
Ken has a row of shots lined up in front of
him. I do indeed, yes. And by the time the broadcast is over, I will be cooking with petrol.
I want to invent a Rocky drinking game because it's on TV right now.
But if it involves having to watch Rocky movies, I'm out.
Every time Sylvester Stallone stands there with his mouth open.
Well, that's worse than trying that with a run of Corey Haim movies.
Where were we?
We were telling them where the Carolina is.
Yes. Did we tell them?
No.
Okay.
We didn't get that far.
Hendersonville Road. Skyland, South Asheville, 28803.
Is that good enough? That's good enough for me.
Okay.
I know where it is. I can get here. I can get home from here. That's all I need to know.
You're a talent.
Yeah. And I do believe we have been to the movies, have we
not?
Yes, we have. And, without any further ado, what did you see?
I saw The Roommate.
And?
Which it was stupid. I guess you need more than that.
I would like something a little bit more detailed than it was stupid.
It was really stupid. Should I keep going?
Are you just going to add reallys, or are you going to say some more?
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's basically a single white female goes to college, as we have. We follow this girl.
We follow these TV actresses.
Yes. These bubble-headed co-eds. One's not crazy, and the other one is crazy. And see where this is going.
Well, yeah.
And the crazy one goes all crazy.
And the not crazy one gets all terrorized.
Yes.
And how exactly does the ever-popular Cam Gigandet fit into this?
Well, he is a drummer in a band, though we never actually see him playing. We see him behind a drum set, but they always have somebody in front of him, so you don't actually see him hitting any drums. It's quite clever.
Are you saying that the boy has the rhythm sense of Robert Plant?
I don't know what he has.
I mean, you know, anybody can at least look like they're faking playing the drums, I think.
Right. He kind of bounces around.
Maybe they just wired his seat. I don't know. But what is his function in this film, other than to be a drummer in a band?
Well, he's the romantic interest.
Which one? The crazy girl or the
not
crazy girl?
No, the not crazy girl.
Oh, the not crazy girl. Okay.
The crazy girl basically just goes around
doing crazy shit?
Ripping out people's belly button rings and murdering
people.
Well,
in general principles, I have nothing against that, but why specifically does she go around ripping out belly button
rings? She's very defensive of her roommate, who's not crazy, and so any bad influence she tries to get rid of. So now
should I assume, just for argument's sake here, that since this is PG-13, that the obvious sapphic undertones don't ever lead anywhere?
They were there. I was too bored to notice. No, not really. It's mostly just her.
Hot psycho on co-ed action, none of that?
No. Much more interesting movie, I guess.
Well, it could hardly be less interesting.
Like I read in the review, it doesn't even have the common decency to be trashy.
That is low. Least. You know, that's low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No nudity in this. This is garbage.
Well, I know the whole world wants to see Cam Jigandet naked, but, you know.
Well, he probably thinks they do.
I'm sure that some segment of the public must. There can be no other explanation for his continued existence in films. Except he was really good playing a moron.
Maybe casting directors just want to see him with his clothes off.
Now, that may be. That has kept many a career thriving. Casting directors and certain agents. So that's all you have to say about that, huh?
Yeah, don't watch it. It's bad.
I wasn't planning on it, and it's only at a couple of
theaters.
Well, I
was telling our listeners.
Yeah, no, it was only a couple of theaters I don't like to go to, so, you know.
Anyway.
Which is why you got it, and I got Sanctum 3D.
Which, the theater I went to see, the roommate had it labeled as JC Sanctum.
Oh, well.
Which I'm assuming is not...
Jesus Christ, yes. Sanctum?
Sanctum Star.
I believe this was supposed to be James Cameron's
right.
Sanctum. Well, you see, the thing about that is, okay, I don't particularly like James Cameron, so putting his name on something is not going to get me to go shell out money to see it. Not, of course, that I actually shell out money to see these things, but...
It will get you someone to shell out money for you to watch it.
But...
I guess.
He's the executive producer. And a couple of people who have been involved in some of those other waterlogged goats in the abyss and things like that of his are involved in this. It, however, was written by a gentleman with no priors and another gentleman who 11 years ago wrote a TV film about how to survive a shark attack. They hadn't ought to write. It's
well, the
bad.
Shark Attack movie might be good.
The Shark Attack movie may be excellent as far as Shark Attack movies are go. You know, go. But this isn't a Shark Attack movie. We're in a cave. A cave in Papua New Guinea. Or near Papua New Guinea. Which every time anybody says that, all I can think of is that sequence in Arizona Dream. But if you've never seen Arizona Dream, that will mean nothing to you. Yeah, well, a couple of cinematic illiterates I'm standing here with. Okay, anyway.
The real question, is there a shark in the cave?
No.
Why not?
What because that would make the whole
movie.
Thing unbelievable.
Is there a bear?
There's not a bear. There's no wildlife
animals?
Of any kind.
Why not?
I don't know. This is a movie.
Unless there's
this
a giant
snake.
This
is a subterranean movie
a
that needed a giant animal of some kind in those caves.
Demon from Hell.
Demon from Hell would have been good. Giant snake, giant white worm. With right. Volkswagen hinge mouth, anything. But no, it's just these people wandering through these caves and subterranean lakes.
Why?
Because
they're dumb enough to go in caves?
Because they were dumb enough to go in there in the first place.
Okay.
And they were dumb enough to get stuck in there at the beginning of the rainy season, and it's filling up.
Well, yeah.
So they are having to get out of there before it fills up. And then to do this, they have to wiggle through this little teeny tiny hole into this new section of the cave that no one has found before, since, you know, prior to Richard Roxburgh. Right. And they have to find another way out.
Probably up.
That would be my guess, yes. And it just kind of trudges on in this fashion. It's remarkably tedious. It gets kind of funny towards the end when the, you know, I mean, if you want to see Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four, if you want to see him go nutso, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for anybody, in fact, get set on fire at one point, this is the movie for you.
Well, if we get set on fire and the cave's filling up with water.
Yeah, it's not a real hard thing to put it out. Yeah. Well, what can I say? It's just really singularly pointless.
Okay.
And I think that no one was fooled by the JC thing, by the way.
Because it didn't do anything.
Okay, look at it this way. In most theaters, this thing gigged the viewer for an extra $3.50 to $5
mm-hmm.
to see it in 3D, D, D, D. Okay,
right.
Now, if with that artificially inflated price, it couldn't beat a tepid PG-13 horror picture that was on far fewer screens.
Right.
I'd say it's a gigantic bomb.
Well, don't they spend that much money on it?
It's supposedly $30
million. No.
Well. Yeah. Which means they've got to make $60 million to start breaking even.
Right. They even, like, do you know if they use James Cameron's fancy 3D cameras? Or?
I don't know. The 3D is pretty good, you know, but if you care for that sort of thing. You know.
Did you feel like you're in a cave?
Well, you know, I'm not real sure I've ever actually been in a cave.
Did you feel like you were trapped and had to escape?
I felt like I was trapped in a movie theater.
Okay.
I do not, however, believe I actually looked at my phone to see what time it was. But that may have been because I didn't know what the running time was. Or maybe I did.
You thought you were in a cave and wouldn't get...
Maybe
reception.
I thought I couldn't see it in there. But if a relative of yours... paternal or otherwise, gives you a boar's tooth that he has outfitted with a little tiny flashlight on the end of it, keep it.
Okay.
It may save your life.
Does anybody saw their arm off?
Unfortunately, no.
No. That's too bad.
That would have livened things up a little bit, too. We do get to see the bimbo girlfriend of Mr. Fantastic get the side of her head kind of ripped open because she gets her bubbly bouffant hairdo caught in some... something or other, which leads to her speeding
in a crevasse, perhaps.
Well, they didn't talk about her crevasse, so
maybe they should have.
Well, it would have probably livened things up considerably. This was not a good movie. I recommend it not.
Okay.
I did also see the Oscar-nominated short films for 2011, which of course is a peculiar way of titling this set of films, because it's really the films are from 2010, but of course the awards are in 2011. This is all very confusing. It's almost as ridiculous as the Oscar rules. So
I didn't write them.
Well, the rules are this review. You didn't write the review.
Any of it.
That's true.
I have no hand in any of this.
But you know, for years you saw the Oscars and you saw the awards for short films, and you never got to see the short films. Well, these days they kind of let you see the short films, or they have been doing it. Unfortunately, not a lot of people seem to take advantage of this. And this year, it's a pretty good set of films. You've got, as with everything except the Best Picture nominee, and certain things that don't have enough entries to make five, it has five entries in live action, five entries in animation. And the films, because of the nature of compiling a bunch of movies together, it's a little on the uneven side. But mostly, the films are good. The live-action film, Wish 143, if I were an Oscar voter, would be the one that I was voting for. The one I would definitely not vote for is The Confession. Now, having said that, you can see... if I think at all like an Oscar voter, or if I think like the anti-Oscar voter come February 27th. And as far as the animated films are concerned, I figure because Day and Night is a Pixar film, they'll probably give it to that, but it's really slight.
Wasn't that front of Toy Story?
I don't know. I only saw Toy Story on a screen. It's really
like a cloud.
Yes, okay. It's really slight. Yes,
it's kind of. I remember it being kind of clever.
It's kind of clever, but it's really, really slight.
Yeah. For one of those things they put on the front of
a
Pixar movie, it wasn't too bad. Usually, you get stuck with Roadrunner cartoons and stuff.
Didn't
Yogi Bear have something on the front of it?
Did it?
No, one of those movies.
I have tried to block, but that's not Pixar, though.
I know. I'm saying it could be worse.
But I believe there was something on the beginning of Yogi Bear. I don't remember.
Think about Yogi Bear some more.
No, I don't want to think about Yogi Bear. I'll think about it tomorrow at Tara. In any case, the best of those, in my opinion, was definitely The Lost Thing. And again, you can see whether or not I can think like an Academy voter, or whether my taste is at all like an Academy voter's. And if it is, I may have to harm myself. But, you know, here's the thing. You don't get the chance every year, well, you might from now on, but you didn't used to get the chance to do this. And, you know, you're getting 3+ hours of movies here for one low price. I mean, it's a lot of bang for your buck. So, I think it's definitely worth giving it a look. And that, you know, also gives you a possible vested interest in the outcome of 2 Oscar categories that you're going to have to sit through anyway. So, you know, now
you can just not watch the Oscars.
Well, that's a possibility.
I guess you're going to watch the Oscar shorts. You're probably going to end up watching.
Yeah, because I want to see which one wins now. Yeah, okay. That's the contest for me.
It's the only one you're looking forward to?
The rest of it's just mere flapdoodle. Yes. I don't get to say flapdoodle all that often.
Anyway,
let's hear about this showing.
Well, we should introduce where we're going to have it, so if Steve doesn't have to remind us.
Where are we showing this?
I get a
this?
Gold star for
Where are we showing this From Dusk Till Dawn movie?
We're showing it at the Cinema Lounge.
And where's that?
Well, just rewind at the beginning.
Okay.
It's at Caroline Asheville.
And when are we showing it?
Thursday at 8.
Uh-huh.
It's free.
That's right.
You don't have to pay anything.
That's right. Okay.
So, no excuses.
Unless you're snowed in, as I may be.
Maybe.
So, anyway, tell us about this movie.
Well, it's Robert Rodriguez, best known for Spy Kids and Mariachi Trilogy and Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
I don't think he's really well known for Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Nevertheless, this is the movie. He's friends with Tarantino.
I think I have a copy.
I do too. I do not have a copy of Shorts, and I probably should.
You probably should. Anyway, go ahead and explain this vampire picture.
Well, it's Rodriguez directing, Quentin Tarantino written.
Scripting, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. So it's the most. They've worked together in capacities before
this is probably the most collaborative. Didn't Tarantino direct one scene in
Sin City?
Yeah, mm-hmm. he directed the thing with the head.
Yeah. Yes. And the movie, I always wish I had seen it without knowing anything about it, without ever having seen a trailer.
Really? I mean,
well, because the whole thing, it seems like the idea was
that you
let's make
know
this crime
a vampire
film,
picture
and then halfway through, it's going to turn into a vampire. Picture.
Well, actually, the poster that I've seen, the one that Jeremy's supposed to be working from, I'm not sure that it has anything to indicate that it is a vampire picture on it.
But all the trailers, if you watch them now, it's very heavy on this is a vampire
movie. Yeah, because it does something that was very popular right then. I noticed in your review you mentioned that it was pre-CGI, and it's kind of more like really early because it's...
There is some CGI
in it. There's morphing. And morphing was real hot right about that time.
I mean, there is CGI in it, but they still use makeup
effects. Oh, yeah. Well, if you're not going to use makeup effects, why do you have Tom Savini there for his good looks and presence?
Well, I'm not sure he did the makeup effects. I tried finding that because I was going to mention it, and then I realized... Wait, I don't think he... I couldn't find any credits.
Well, it's not like
I might be wrong.
It's not like he's a great actor.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he works in this because it's... His character's name is Sex Machine. And
I've seen Tom Savini in a bathing suit. It makes that doubly funny.
Yeah.
Granted, it was only a couple years ago, and this movie is considerably further back than that. But
Nevertheless. It's not anywhere near Rodriguez's best movie, but it's still pretty entertaining.
My memory of it is that it's entertaining.
Right. And it's interesting to see a Tarantino script that, well, it's odd for him anyway because it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's still got that Tarantino dialogue, but it doesn't... It's not a wash in it. It's not... The whole movie isn't...
No.
People talking.
Yes.
Which he has a tendency to
indulge
in.
Yes.
But it's still there. It's got... Maybe the one movie you would ever see that has Harvey Keitel build over George Clooney. It's probably the last time you would...
Yeah, well, George Clooney, you know, became a much bigger star than Harvey Keitel.
It's still strange when the movie starts and you see Harvey Keitel and then the name George Clooney on the opening credits.
Yeah, well, that's
striking.
I guess that
especially
would be
now.
A little shocking now, yeah.
Because I don't know if I've seen Harvey Keitel in anything.
Well, the last thing I remember Harvey Keitel in was Monkey Trouble. But
well, that was pre...
That was before this one, yeah, okay.
There are no monkeys in this.
That's a swell monkey picture.
Maybe we could show it for the Film Society.
I think not.
Okay. Nevertheless.
Nevertheless. This is what we're showing.
Yes.
And this is what you're recommending.
Yes.
And
I enjoy it. I think it's fun.
Well,
it's
kind of
cheesy, but it's not... I mean, it knows
it's the day after your birthday. I mean, you get your movie, you know, so I mean, that's only...
Well, I was... One of those things where it's like, we're going to show this at some point. We might as
well. Yeah, we might as well show it. Yeah, so...
So,
are you 28 or 29?
28.
Oh, okay. Damn. I was hoping this was a year that you started catching up with me and I wasn't twice as old as you, but
no.
I say I'm exactly twice as old as you now. Well, that blows goats. Okay. Oh, the Asheville Film Society, and we are showing City Lights.
Yes.
The Chaplin film. If you don't know what this is, then you need to be here. If you do know what this is, you should probably come see it again. But this is Chaplin. This is Chaplin at his finest. This is Chaplin at the height of his power and probably with the, if not the slickest produced of his films, at least second to it. It's Chaplin at his funniest. It's Chaplin at his most creative. It is Chaplin at his most effectively sentimental. This was a film that was made in defiance of the fact that everybody else was making talkies. It's a silent film, but this did allow him to control the sound and to compose a soundtrack for it, since Chaplin was an enthusiastic amateur musician. And, of course, he went back and composed soundtracks for most of his films from 1918 forward. By 1931, everything had a soundtrack. When he reissued The Gold Rush in 1942, he managed to find... a negative, which was probably made from alternate takes that hadn't had intertitles put in it. And he put a musical track and a narration and no intertitles in that version of the film, which a lot of people don't like. I like that version. I prefer it to the silent version with the intertitles, but that might be because the silent version with the intertitles almost invariably has a crap score on it. Chaplin's score is... It's not like Chaplin is some sort of great composer, but he's an effective composer for what he's, you know, going for. This is the film that's a story about the blind girl who mistakes Chaplin's little tramp for a millionaire, and everything he goes through to get her sight restored. And, of course, that means that she's going to see him. Yeah. The whole thing is designed to make you cry. It made Albert Einstein cry in 1931 when he saw it.
When are we showing this, Ken?
Well, we are showing this on next Tuesday.
Are we?
Yes, we are. That, I believe, is February 15th?
Yes.
Yes, okay. See, he figured that out. He's a clever lad. And we are showing it at 8 p.m. and in the actual cinema lounge as opposed to the bar of same.
You can sit at the bar and watch it.
Well, you can sit at the bar and watch it, yes, that's true.
I was going to say, you might not be able to hear it well, but
yeah, it doesn't matter with this one, although it is not that easy to hear films out here. Okay, this Friday. Well, to make life easy and to get past this, the first thing of note, of course, is that the Oscar short films open. And then there's this thing called The Heagle.
Yeah. Right. Starring Channing Tatum as an
ancient Roman in 140 AD Great Britain.
And that guy from Billy Elliot whose career has...
Jamie Bell.
Has gone nowhere.
And Donald Sutherland, who is always anxious for work these days. And, I mean, he has a respectable director.
What has he done?
Kevin McDonald. He did The Last King of Scotland, and he did State of Play.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's not like a guy who makes crap.
Well, I keep seeing the thing on the pre-show where they talk about the eagle, and then
they have an interview
with Kevin McDonald where he's talking about, this is one of the few stories I've ever seen that grabs you by the throat. It's like, chill a little harder. So.
Yeah, that's really sounds uncomfortable to me. In any case, it might be fine. It doesn't really jazz
me. It might not be fine.
It might not be fine, but...
The fact that they're singing in February, sort of...
is not necessarily a good sign. And the fact that it looks like every other old world film, and that the fact that it's all gray.
Shutter. Yeah, and high-speed shutter.
Was there no color in the olden days?
No. That wasn't invented till Technicolor.
Kodachrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And people realized.
So we've got that to look forward to, or not, as the case may be.
Where do you watch it? I forget.
No, you figure that they used Channing Tatum because they couldn't get Cam Gigandet. I can't tell them apart, really, so it's... you know, they could have told me it was Cam Gigandet, I'd probably bought it.
Need somebody who fit in the costume.
No, that might be that. Would be a good casting.
Who had a big enough neck to fit
I don't know. The hole. IMDb tells me that he is being propelled to stardom. Stardom, I tell you.
Should be propelled into outer space.
I agree, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so...
Or into the ocean.
And you're watching The Heagle, not me.
Yes.
I let you watch that because I didn't figure you wanted to see Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston in Just Go With It or whatever
it's called.
What an
awful title.
Yeah, well, I keep screwing it up, so, you know. It's an awful title. It's a stupid premise.
It's one of those things where it's like, if they just act like adults, we wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is Adam Sandler is such a babe magnet, which of course would not be true if he weren't Adam Sandler, that he has to wear a wedding ring so that women don't get serious about him. Unfortunately, this pose backfires on him when he meets a woman he is serious about. And since she thinks he's a perfect sleaze for wearing a wedding ring, he pretends that he has a wife who is in the process of divorcing him. And he then cons Jennifer Aniston, looking through the wreckage of her tabloid career, to pretend to be said wife.
Right.
As I have noted elsewhere, the only noteworthy thing about this film is that, at least according to the cast list, Rob Schneider is not in it. However, Jennifer Aniston kind of balances that out for me, so. And what else do we have? We have Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
A version of Shakespeare in
which... Do you think they die at the end?
I don't think so, somehow.
Do you think they say fiddlestick?
I don't.
Okay.
My question is how it took this long for somebody to think... I mean, every time I see, it's Romeo and Juliet with yard ornaments. I mean, this...
Is there pink flamingos?
There are pink flamingos in it, yes. So that will definitely be in its favor. But the whole thing is that all I can think of is...
You don't want to mention pink flamingos. You'll awaken him.
Yes,
like
that'll,
the Kraken.
That will awaken Namvet. And he will come a-looking for me.
It's going to be a poop-eating comment.
Yeah.
On this...
But every time I see, you know, encounter this whole plot and everything, all I can think of is Adolf Manjou's line, and you could have used this, out of Gold Diggers of 1935, where he gives Alice Brady the solid silver fruit dish given to me by the Grand Duke Alexis after seeing my production of Midsummer Night's Dream with an all-Eskimo cast. That's all I can think of. And somehow I bet it's not going to be as good as my imagination of what that version of Midsummer Night's Dream must have been like. It drip whale blubber on their eyes. I don't know. You know. Anyway, and in addition to that, what do we have? Oh, yes, The Illusionist. The Illusionist.
Right. Which is not the...
Which is one of the...
Not the Magician
movie. Not the Magician movie. This is not the thing with...
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, but that's not the star. Ed Norton, okay. This is the animated film from the gentleman who made The Trip of the Belleville. Don't you wash that off and pretend it's not dirty.
Leave that in. That should be the introduction.
Yes, well, I can get to that in a minute.
Right.
This is the one thing that's coming out that I'm genuinely looking forward to.
Right.
I think this stands a really good chance of being a splendid film, and it probably is going to be what I think should win the Oscar, but of course they're going to give that to Toy Story 3 because everybody and his idiot brother thought it was the most wonderful thing on earth, and I thought it was massively okay. And then there is the film America has been waiting for. Possibly the film America deserves. Yeah.
But not the film Ken Henke deserves, because he's
no,
not going to watch it.
I'm not going to watch it, because Justin's going to watch it. And that is...
The week of my birthday.
On the week of his birthday, I am this cruel. If he had been 29, I wouldn't have done it to him. So in any case, we're trying to talk about is Justin Bieber.
Is this like a sequel to the Jonas Brothers and
Hannah
Montana?
Yes, it is. The Jonas Brothers and Hannah Montana had a wild orgy, and they produced Justin Bieber in Never Say Never.
Which I doubt is going to have anything as good as the Jonas Brothers spraying white sticky substance all over screaming preteens.
Or Miley Cyrus singing a song that turns out to be the exact same tune as the raunchy Scotty right. Doesn't Know from Eurotrip.
So no Bieber squirting?
I don't think there's any squirting Bieber in this.
That's unfortunate.
You have to get a specialized website to see that, I believe. But in any case,
just look forward to a very tasteless podcast next week.
Yes,
but a very tasteless review. If this hasn't been tasteless enough,
come on. I mean, what is the and the trailer alone, which I've had to see any number of times, right. Annoys the living Jesus out of me. He's living this amazing life, but he's just like you and me. Bullshit. Just like you and me. In the first place, I resent that implication. In the second place, I'm not living an amazing life.
I don't
see
him having much in common with you, to be honest.
What's that?
I don't see him having much in common.
No, I don't either.
I don't see you dancing like that.
I could see blowing him. I'll quit looking at my feet.
I was trying to see if you had Velcro shoes on like he had, because they have very prominent shots of him wearing Velcro shoes.
Maybe he'll never learn how to...
He can't tie a shoe.
And it's his great tragedy mm-hmm. when they do Behind the Music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, and then we have, home movie footage of him banging on chairs at the age of 4. Who cares? You know, I guess
with Bieber.
Yeah, I guess there's, some sort of audience for this, but thank God I'm not part of it. We should...
Well, thank God you are not a part of it. I would hate for that to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
I would hate for you to watch this stupid thing. Poor Ken.
I watched...
Poor tragic Ken.
Yeah. I watched Hannah Montana. That's enough.
And Jonas Brothers.
Did I watch Jonas Brothers?
Yeah. You're the one that told me about the white stuff.
Yeah, the Jonas Brothers jizzing on their audience.
I watched Jonas Brothers just to see that part.
Just to see that part, okay. If I saw both the Jonas Brothers and Miley Cyrus, then you deserve this.
Well, God, that's a better reason. I don't want to watch it.
Well, I don't want to watch it. I don't figure you want to watch it either. It's not your birthday. Your birthday's over by then. The 11th, your birthday will be over for 2 days.
So?
Have you got enough of us?
I can doctor a birth certificate. They did it with Obama.
Don't start this. Right. Somebody's going to think you're serious. I know that. He's not serious.
Barack Obama. I guess that's enough of us.
I think that, yeah, I think we've lost probably everybody. We lost control of it some considerable time ago. Unfortunately, folks, the best stuff is almost certainly going to be cut out.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're never going to hear it.
They're never going to hear all that. No, they're not going to hear that Bieber-thon.
Oh no.
Oh gosh.
Well, you got to say something for next week. Consider this the warm-up to your best material yet.
I know, but you're making me feel like I need to go see this thing now.
You do. I think you need to see this film.
Oh, you suck on so many levels. Let us sign this puppy off.
All right.
That's as much as the adult human being can take of us for this week.
Yes.
Therefore...
stay tuned next week.
Next week, and it will be far, far worse. And... I'm Ken Hankey. Much dumber.
I promise.
I promise we will get stupider than this. In any case, I'm Ken Hankey.
I'm Justin Sowler.
Yeah, and we're the movie reviewers for the Mountain Express, who are the fine folks who allow us to get stupid. And
they don't know what we're doing.
I know they don't care either. There's nobody at the Mountain Express has a clue what
they
we're doing.
They have a nice
here.
Scarf on, Ken.
Except for I do.
Those are lovely boots.
It is. It's very charming. And if Steve would have just let me do my Chaplin impersonation, it would have been a huge hit on the radio, or whatever this is. I know it's not the radio, but it is to me. It'll always be the radio to me. In any case, these programs are produced and cohered and edited, which is
by
his Stephen major
Shanafelt
function.
Jr. By,
yes. Did you say he was a Bieber?
No, I said Junior.
Oh.
I thought Steve Shanna Bieber.
I'm going to kill you. I think I'm going to find a way to make it look like an accident, but I'm pretty certain I can do it.
Shanna Beaver, I think this could stick.
Yeah, it could. It could be bad.
No, all this is doing is giving him ideas for whatever our picture is going to be next week.
Think of
the damage.
And you know exactly.
And you should do it, honestly, because we deserve it.
We deserve worse than that. In any case, Mr. Shanafelt is our illustrious
producer. I'm going to find Justin Bieber pictures for you to doctor or to get Jeremy to. I will find some good ones.
That would be.
I already have something figured out for next week.
Well,
and you're
this is
going to
be
it
better.
I don't know. Your head on Paris seems pretty good to me.
This is the longest podcast we've ever done.
Yeah, but you're going to cut 90% of it out.
It means you have to listen to the entire thing to get 10% out of it.
And we live to make our producer Steve Shanafelt's life a living hell.
The
that
end.
Should settle it.